Hey everyone, Pastor Tim here. I pray that this sermon, this resource, will be used by God to grow you and help you flourish in His grace and sanctify you in your faith. This resource is not intended to and will never replace the benefits of being part of a church family. So if you're local, we would love to have you join us here on Sunday mornings. If you're not close, we encourage you to find a church home in your area. Again, we pray that this blesses you and grows you in your love for Jesus and sharing that love with others.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's great to be with you. I'm John Adams, one of the pastors here, and we have had the joy of walking through this great narrative of 1 Samuel. It's full of action, and it's just an amazing book. And today, as we look at the context of this story, we need to know that the nation of Israel is in a huge transition. Samuel, the prophet judge over all of Israel and the spiritual leader, has just died. And David, as you know, had been previously anointed by Samuel to be the future king. Saul still reigns, is on the throne, but David has been anointed, and David must be wondering now, God, what are you doing? Why would you allow Samuel to die at this time? I kind of need him. He's been my disciple or my mentor, my leader, and the spiritual leader over Israel. So he was probably filled with sadness and maybe some fear, just like the rest of the nation, and they probably struggled. But today, as we look at 1 Samuel 25, we're going to see that a woman named Abigail was used by God to rescue others from bloodshed and even death. And she does it in this completely unexpected way. She doesn't kind of bring a sword, kind of like Eowyn and Lord of the Rings. Some of you guys, if you're nerdy like me, you've seen this. Eowyn who kills the Nazgul with a sword. But no more Lord of the Rings stories, okay? But she doesn't come with sword, but she comes with service and a heart of faith, of trusting God and His work. And it's just a beautiful, amazing story and the power of how God worked through her humility and her courage. So we're going to see that throughout this great story in 1 Samuel 25, three main characters. We're going to see Abigail, who is this kind of unexpected heroine. We're going to see her husband, Nabal, who is rich, powerful, but he's pretty foolish. And then we're going to see David, who actually is the one who in this story is rescued by Abigail. So let's go ahead and dig in. Look at verse number 1. It says, "Now Samuel died, and all Israel assembled and mourned for him. And they buried him in the house at Ramah. Then David rose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. And there was a man of Maon whose business was in Carmel. The man was very rich. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. He was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail. The woman was discerning and beautiful, but the man was harsh and badly behaved. He was a Calebite." You know, David has been being chased by Saul throughout the desert. And remember last week, Garrison reminded us about how David had the opportunity to kill King Saul in the cave. And yet, God restrained him by His grace. And David would obediently just simply cut the edge of his robe. And did not kill Saul, though Saul deserved it. And everyone saying, and his men were saying, get him, kill him. But David, restrained by God's grace, said, "I will not touch the Lord's anointed." And here he's still being pursued, but David has 600 men that have been traveling with him. And then they've been fighting off some of the enemies of Israel, some of the kind of marauding forces that would come into Israel and would come and take some unsuspected city like Nabal and his shepherds and steal their riches and their wealth. Usually it was their animals and their food stuff. And so David and his men have been watching over this Nabal and his shepherds when they were in the town of Carmel. And they had actually earned the right to kind of receive from Nabal a payment. David could have even stolen, his men could have stolen from Nabal or taken stuff from him. But instead, they're protecting him from these enemies who would come and basically ravage their farm. And so David is actually owed by Nabal lots of stuff. And so that's kind of the setup of the story. And we see Nabal is this rich landowner. There he's doing business in the town of Carmel. And he's married to this amazing woman named Abigail. And there couldn't be two more different kinds of people. I mean, Abigail was beautiful and rich in godly character. And Nabal was rich financially, but poor in character. I mean, what a contrast between Abigail and Nabal. In verse 25, we see that Nabal's name literally means fool. Now, parents, just a word of advice. If you're thinking about names for your kids, you might want to avoid that. Verse 4 continues saying, David heard in the wilderness that Nabal was shearing his sheep. So David sent 10 young men. And David said to the young men, go up to Carmel and go to Nabal and greet him in my name. And thus you shall greet him, peace be to you, and peace to your house, and peace be to all that you have. I hear that you have shearers. Now your shepherds have been with us, and we did them no harm, and they missed nothing all the time they were in Carmel. Ask your young men, and they will tell you. Therefore, let my young men find favor in your eyes, for we come on a feast day. Please give whatever you have at hand to your servants and to your son David. And when David's young men came, they said all this to Nabal in the name of David, and then they waited. So David comes and he sends his men, 10 of them, to Nabal just to simply ask what Nabal already owed him and more, really. And not only that, we see in verse number 8 that it was a feast day. And in Israel, feasts meant a time where the Lord commanded for everyone who asks, who are in need around you, give to them and be generous. So doubly, Nabal, his response should be, sure, whatever you need, David. But we see his contrasting response in verse number 10. And Nabal answered David's servants, who is David? Who is this son of Jesse? There are many servants these days who are breaking away from their masters. Shall I take my bread and my water and my meat that I've killed my shearers and give it to men who come from I do not know where? You see, Nabal sees David as nothing. This is in stark contrast to Abigail, who we see later in this story in verse number 30. She recognized that God had appointed David as the prince over Israel. Verse 30 tells us that she knew that he would become the king. So Nabal not only does not share his food with David, he insults him. He humiliates David with his words. He says, who is this David? This son of Jesse. He even knew who his dad was. And he likely knew what Abigail knew, that he would become the king. But for some reason, he still resists it. So Nabal's words and actions fired up David. He is, and his men are, hangry. They're hungry and angry. And so he barks orders to the 400 of the men to strap on. Get ready, guys. We're going to take care and take out Nabal and his men. Verse 33 says, though, that he was going to do it, take matters into his own hands. So we know that this wasn't a fully godly, righteous anger. And verse 34 tells us that David was intent to kill Nabal and every man with him. And again, remember the context of this. This is right after what Garrison shared with us from 1 Samuel 24, where he's in the cave and he's completely restrained from killing Saul. And again, there's a repeat kind of story. It happens again in 1 Samuel 26. Sandwiched between 24 and 26, now David is unrestrained. And he needs some help. How is he going to get help to not kill Nabal and take matters into his own hands? And so this is an amazing work of God's grace, friends, because God does this so beautifully that in David's obedience by not killing Saul, it was all about God's grace and his work. Now we see God extends his grace to David even in his sin and his unrighteous anger. And he brings someone to help him with his anger. You know what? It's so easy at certain times in our lives to kind of blow up with anger or to get to a place where so many of us are dealing with different anxieties or fears. And there's a moment where you just sets us off and we explode in a way that's kind of out of character. And this is what David is really, really tempted to do. That's what he's doing. So, question for us today. Are we regularly surrendering to the Lord and inviting Him to control all of our responses? And do we have people around us who will speak truth and love us and help us to point us to Jesus in a time when our emotions maybe are even in an explosive place? Well, story goes on in verses 14 through 17. Abigail is told by one of Nabal's men that David and 400 men are coming to kill him. So what is Abigail going to do? She is now thinking, well, Lord, how do you want me to respond? She had to ask this question. Verse 18, it says this, that she did this. Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 skins of wine and 5 sheep already prepared and 5 seahs of parched grain and 100 clusters of raisin and 200 cakes of figs and laid them on donkeys. I mean, that's just brilliant, isn't it? She did what every wise woman does for hangry men. Feed them. And feed them lots of food. And so she brilliantly and amazingly and generously, I mean, I don't know how she had this all prepared, right? She obviously had this already. They were very wealthy. They had these goods ready. And she goes back and quickly and in a beautifully skilled way whips up an amazing feast. It kind of reminds me of my wife, Lizanne. She's pretty good at this stuff. Abigail was like wise and generous. And she was a complete contrast to her foolish husband. And so we see that in this story that this Abigail is listening to the Lord. She's looking in faith to her Messiah Lord and looking forward to the faith like all Old Testament characters did in those days. They had to see that there would be a rescuer who would come, who would save and rescue them. And obviously she is one who is putting faith in the Lord and is trusting God Himself. And she's amazingly generous. She's generous with her, with all of her gifts. And this should cause us to ask the question, how are we growing in generosity? With our time, with our money, with our spiritual gifts, are we daily and regularly saying, Lord, how do we use what you have given to us, remembering all that we have is from the Lord? Are we stewarding it well and ready to kind of be open-handed when God says, be prepared to give and give generously? Well, Abigail was that kind of woman, and she was amazing and an incredible contrast to her husband, Nabal. But we also see in this passage a great comparison. A comparison of Abigail to David and a future David. When David and his 400 men come and they're ready to take Nabal and all his men out. And Abigail had no idea that her even response would assuage David in his anger. She thought, I might die. She didn't know what she was coming into, but what did she do? It says in verse 24, she fell at his feet and said, on me alone, my Lord, be the guilt. You see, Abigail so wisely met the anger of David with a soft, gentle reply. Kind of like Proverbs 15:1 tells us. Her actions were really become this incredible means of waking David up to what he actually was doing, that he was taking matters into his own hands and stopping David in his tracks. And then it becomes like a means of grace. The Lord worked powerfully through this woman, Abigail. And she was willing to bear the punishment for the sins she did not commit. And in verses 28 through 31, she says in essence something like this. David, you are the anointed king. Look at, God is with you, wiping out Nabal, and my family is way beneath you. You don't need to do this. And look, you know, as you have been protected by the plots of King Saul, the Lord is with you. And by the way, if you want to punish someone, punish me. I am your servant. Please accept these gifts. And again, amazingly, David stops. And he is overwhelmed, really, with the kind of the generous wisdom of this woman. And his whole attitude and behavior changes at this moment. We see this his response in verse 32, where it says this, and David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who sent you this day to meet me. Blessed be your discretion, and blessed be you who have kept me this day from blood guilt and from working salvation with my own hand. For as surely as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, who has restrained me from hurting you, unless you had hurried and come to meet me, truly by morning, there had not been left to Nabal so much as one male. Then David received from her hand what she had brought him. And he said to her, go up in peace to your house. See, I have obeyed your voice, and I have granted your petition. And Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he was holding a feast in his house, like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunk. So she told him nothing at all until the morning light. And in the morning, when the wine had gone out of Nabal, his wife told him these things. And his heart died within him and became as stone. And about 10 days later, the Lord struck Nabal and he died. And when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, blessed be the Lord who has avenged the insult I received at the hand of Nabal and has kept back his servant from wrongdoing. The Lord has returned the evil of Nabal on his head. And then David sent and spoke to Abigail to take her as his wife. And when the servants of David came to Abigail at Carmel, they said to her, "David has sent us to you to take you to him as his wife." Wow. Whew. What amazing grace. David is overwhelmed by the grace of God that is poured out through the means of this woman, Abigail. He is stopped in his tracks from taking matters into his own hands. He's kept from sin. And God does this incredible work, and this moment is so important in the trajectory of David, who becomes this man after God's own heart, though he still struggles with sin. It's amazing stuff. You know, I love the comments about how Abigail was used as this kind of helper, rescuer, showing David God's grace and keeping him from sin. David Guzik comments on this verse, and he says this: "Here David knew the blessing of being kept from sin. It surely is a blessing to be forgiven of our sins, but it is even a greater blessing to be kept from sin." Isn't that true? Man, one thing that throughout my life, in the Lord's Prayer, that I've prayed over and over for myself, for my family, for this, our pastors, our elders, for you, the congregation, is, Lord, not just forgive us our sins, but keep us from temptation and deliver us from the evil one. Lord, please, you do the work by your grace. Help us. Keep us from sin. And God used Abigail in this fantastic way. So we see that Abigail, verses 32 through 40, David sees Abigail and sends her home. She finds Nabal home. He's stone cold drunk. Even in the face of a family's destruction, a fool doesn't catch on. And Abigail didn't hide what she did from Nabal. She waited, though, wisely until the morning when he was sobering up. And there she told him the story of what happened. And when she told him, it was like his heart was struck. Did he have a heart attack? We don't know. But we know that 10 days later, the Lord took him. And that eventually that God sent for Abigail, David sent for Abigail to become his wife. We see this in verses 41 through 42. And what happens? "And she rose and bowed with her face to the ground and said, 'Behold, your handmaiden is a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord.' And Abigail hurried and rose and mounted a donkey, and her five young women attended her. She followed the messengers of David and became his wife." Isn't this an amazing story of God's grace? And the great response of Abigail in verse 41 summarizes her life. That her power was not in her wealth. It wasn't in her beauty. It wasn't in what she could accomplish. But it was in her faith in the Almighty Lord of God. And that he directed her in her service. And he directed her in just the right moment to do just the right thing. It was all by God's amazing grace that he did this. And she was willing to literally put her life on the line to intercept David. And not only to rescue Nabal, but to also rescue be a part by God's grace to rescue David from falling into this sin of killing Nabal. Well, centuries after Abigail, there was a man who was a descendant of David himself. And his name was Jesus the Christ. And he came to rescue us by his grace. You know, we could compare and contrast Abigail to many, to Nabal, to David, to us today. But look at, no one compares to Jesus. No one is like him. He is the ultimate rescuer. And the story of Abigail and the story of David and even the story of Nabal all points to Jesus and his ultimate work of grace, the ultimate servant and suffering servant. We read in Mark 10:45, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve," and listen, "to give his life a ransom for many." Jesus came from heaven itself, from the ultimate gated community, and he came and left the fellowship, perfect, intimate fellowship he had with the Father and with the Spirit. And he came to this earth and lived in a world of just being constantly disappointed, ultimately betrayed. But what did Jesus do right before he died on the cross? He served those around him. He took a towel and basin and washed the feet of his disciples. And ultimately, we know what he did is he went to the cross. And he didn't just ultimately for us wash feet. He himself took on the cross and washed our hearts by his wonderful death, his cruel death, as he took ultimately the wrath of God for our sins, that we might be washed clean, and that we might be in relationship with God, and that our hearts might be changed. You see, no one compares to Jesus. Do you know today that wonderful love of Jesus? Have you trusted and put your faith in him? And if you haven't, we just encourage you to talk to one of our pastors or elders or to the friends that have brought you here about knowing Jesus in an intimate, personal way, seeing him as your rescuer, your Savior. But listen, if you are a Christ follower here today, every one of us needs rescue. Do you realize that? I mean, David, again, who became this man after God's own heart, needed to be rescued from his sin and from his anger. And we all have things, sin in our hearts, that we need to say, "Lord, I need to be rescued today. Please help me defeat by your grace the power of sin and pour into me your amazing grace." So as we come to the Lord's Supper, I just want you to contemplate and to reflect on this question. What sin do you need to be rescued from by his grace? He's here today to do this. Do you realize your need for rescue? Your need for Jesus to come and save you. You may be going to heaven and know him eternally, but right now, you're struggling with stuff and with sin. He's ready to deliver you. Will you cry out for him to help you now? Let's go to him in just a moment of silent preparation as we get ready for communion.
Thanks so much for joining us for this podcast. For more information, you can visit us online at thevinecc.com or visit us on Facebook or Instagram at thevinecc. Have a great week.